Morning. Morning. It's good to see you all this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the video this week that we've just had. Father, it's just been an amazing month. Can't believe it's almost over. Father, but we've had a great time together. And Father, I just pray that you just be with those that are away from us this morning. Father, I know there's a bunch out that are traveling to see some of your beautiful creation this morning. And Father, we just pray that you just give them traveling mercies, but also, Father, we pray that you would just let them have a great time together as they're enjoying each other's company and out in your creation. Father, I just pray that you would just speak to them in a real special way this morning. Father, I know there's others out doing other things. Father, we just pray that you keep them safe, whether they're hunting or fishing or whatever's going on with them. Father, that they would just really feel your sense of presence this morning and that they would just feel loved in a deep and intense way by you this morning, Father. And we just come to you this morning with our celebration. We come to you this morning with our things that are heavy on our hearts this morning that we can just offer up a sacrifice of praise. And so for some of us, that is a real sacrifice because there's times we don't feel like singing or we don't feel like worshiping, but that's the time we need to. And Father, I know that when we enter into that place with you, it's an amazing, sweet time. So, Father, we just pray that you be with us in our time together. We know that you're here. And, Father, we just offer up these songs of praise to you this morning as an offering and a sacrifice to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
Thank you. before you every single day, Lord, not for our honor, for our glory, but for yours alone, Lord. That you'd receive all the praise for everything that you have done in our lives and will continue to do in our lives, Lord. We celebrate your presence. We celebrate who you are in our lives. And we thank you for the opportunity to live for you and to live in Christ.
When there's nothing good in me, you are love, all this pain for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin.
to the throne room of grace. Your grace is sufficient. We thank you that we can reside beside you, that we can walk this life with you, that you know the steps on every little path, at every little turn. So I pray that we would dance with you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. It's good to see you all again this morning. You guys enjoying this beautiful, I don't know, we call it Indian summer or not. I guess we have to wait a little while before we call it that, right? But it's been a good August. I can't remember how last time I seen a hot August like this. But it's nice. I like it. I would like to say I'm getting lots of projects done, but that's not true. I got a load of trash at a dump run yesterday. That was good. I know it sounds like not a big deal, but, you know, I got rid of some stuff that was stacking behind my house. So that felt really good. It was really interesting. We're really hot today. I feel really loud. Am I loud? Or is it just me?
Perfect.
Perfect? Okay. All right. Well, I just felt very kind of echoey. So, I mean, if you're good, I'm good. I don't know if I like to hear myself quite that loud. All right. That's better. It was interesting last week, and we were talking about covenant. I don't know about you, but that really spoke to me when Father was speaking it to me as I was speaking last week, but also even before that. And I've had some interesting conversations with people about it afterward. One with my mentor that I met with on Tuesday, I was talking about it, and I was talking to my dad. My dad watches, as he will be tomorrow morning, he watches or listens, I don't know which one he does, every week as he listens to me speak when he's walking, so I don't know if that helps him or hurts him, but that's when he does it. But he was commenting, and the one thing I didn't bring out last week, which was such a beautiful depiction and picture of, you know, how we were talking about in Isaiah, where we are engraved in the palms of his hands. What a powerful picture, right? But what I missed, which was fine. Father wanted me to say what he wanted me to say. But what was brought up by my mentor and my father both was like, yeah, the perfect encapsulation of that was Christ on the cross. You want to talk about permanent engraving on the palms of his hands? Like, think about that. In Jesus' glorified body, those scars are still there. I believe those scars will be there for eternity to represent your name and my name and everyone else's name. And here's the thing, who accept him? But he didn't just die for the ones that accepted him, right? He died for everybody. So I don't know if that messes up your theology any, but I'm just saying, your names are engraved in the palm of his hand. And for those of that believe him, there's a benefit to us. And those that don't, it doesn't mean anything because they're not benefiting from the blessing. And I think that when Christ looks at his hands, he sees your name. Because I believe he saw your name, knew you, when he died for all of our sins in that moment in time. So I just wanted to give you that's extra from last week. But I saw what a beautiful picture that you are engraved in the palm of his hand. It's not just in figurative speech. Remember last week I said I believe this is literal, and I didn't know why I said that. Now I know why I said that, because of the imprints of the nails in the palms of his hands. Right? For eternity. I didn't even think about that. In his glorified body, his scars are still there. How cool is that? All right, so that's that. All right, we are in 1 John, because this really ties into where we've been for the last while here in 1 John. So we're just going to go back, and we're going to read. We're not going to go through the whole thing again, but because we're going to camp on verse 3. But I want to go back, so if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, and we're just going to read the first three verses again. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. I'll go on to verse 3 in a moment, but isn't that what we just talked about last week? Isn't that covenant? We are, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. Isn't that covenant? Isn't that showing us that we're engraved on the palm of his hands? All those things we talked about last week and what we'll continue to talk about this week. See what kind of love. Again, we can't overemphasize that. And we'll look more about that as the book continues, because that's, other than the next couple verses after verse 3, it goes into some other things, but then it just goes into love, right? But then verse 3, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And again, it's such an easy time to see the condition of the world in which we live. And it's really easy to see that we don't have there's not a lot of hope out there. Right, but we have this assurance. We know that we have this love from the Father. We know that we are children of God, because when we come into that relationship with him, he says we are, whether we feel like it or not. Because I don't know about you, but when you were a child, or maybe as an adult still, when you mess things up, do you not feel like, oh man, I don't know if I'm really worthy? One, if you're a child of God, do I really feel like God still loves me? But I messed up again about things he's forgive me for before, right? But as an earthly father, there's nothing that my children do, even over and over and over again when they were little. Or not so much anymore, because most of them are out of the house. Most of them. I still have a few at home. But anyway, but when they continue to do those games, it still breaks my heart when I have to keep repeating myself over the same thing over and over and over and over. Right? Doesn't give me a lot of hope that they're going to learn a lesson. But they did, right? They did. Right, but they knew the love of their father, they knew the love of their mother, and they had this thing. And so again, it's just this beautiful picture that I'm constantly reminding God, constantly shows me through the life of my children about how this works. And I love this, and it said, everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And I love, even if we just take the first couple of verses, and if we're just hoping that we have that kind of love that's given to us, if we just hope in the fact that we are beloved, that we are his children now, that we can hope in how we're living our lives now is not what it's going to eventually be. And we can have these amazing, great lives now, and that is true. But there's a day coming when it's going to get a whole lot better. And that amazes me, because I've got a pretty wild imagination, and I can imagine some pretty crazy things. And Scripture tells me my imagination is nothing compared to what it's going to be like. So a couple things are going to change. Either my mindset, what my imagination is going to change, which I don't think God's going to make it less than my imagination, right? Because my hope is in God, and my hope is in what he can do and what he is doing in my life. And see, that's what I'm hanging on to. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And so I live in this place of hope. I have live in this place of hope, and not hope like, and again, I think I have to get this idea of hope, like, well, I hope it's going to happen. No, I know it's going to happen. I know what my Father says is true. So the hope isn't this, like, wishful thinking. It's this reality. I have this hope. I have this assurance that I am loved, that I'm a child, and that I can be in this purified place as he is pure. That's a pretty big deal for us. But one of the things I want to look at this morning is just this idea of hope. It's not necessarily a new concept for us. Probably, I know years ago I did a series on hope. But I just want to look at a couple of scriptures that tie into all of this. Kind of ties into last week, ties into the beginning of this chapter. So if you would turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Sorry, Nick, I didn't give you the scriptures this morning. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that not hope? We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope. Some of us need to rejoice in hope this morning. And hope supersedes the circumstances in which we find ourselves. There have been lots of times in my life when I've walked in some pretty deep stuff and it didn't seem like there was a lot to hope in. Whether it was a tough time in years past with in Devon's and my marriage, there was always hope. Or there was dark times in years past of being in ministry, there's been some dark times. And those of you who've been here in the last little while, knowing what this little church has walked through over the years, we've gone through some things. And it's been real easy for us to just quit and do something else. And I've talked to some people recently about just seemingly all the attacks that are seeming. You know, I think they're coming to, I guess, all the churches in our world today. But just seeing as maybe obviously because we're living in it here in this place, it seems like it's very targeted at us for some reason. I have theories, right, as to why that's happening. But here's the thing. We have this ability to stand in this place of hope because of the glory of God. Not only that, but continuing on in Romans 5, not only that, verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. If that's not hope, I don't know what is. So it's not about what we do. It doesn't matter. And we go through these things. We go through these sufferings. And then we don't like suffering. Nobody likes suffering. I don't know anybody likes suffering. I mean, there's probably some crazy people out there like suffering. And I actually watched a show where there were, I don't know. Anybody watch that weird Alone show? That's my wife got me hooked on the other night. And right now they're out in around Slave Lake, which is a huge lake up in Canada. And one of the guys that was there, he's like, I don't mind the cold. I don't mind the pain. I actually enjoy all that. I'm like, you're crazy. You belong out there. But what was the thing that was interesting, because they can quit at any time. They have a sat phone. They can call the people up. They can get them. Sometimes they go out for medical reasons, all this kind of stuff. But that guy, he was the third one to leave. He had all the food he needed. He had a shelter built. And what took him out is he had little kids and a wife at home. He goes, what am I doing here? This is stupid. It's not worth the $500,000 I could possibly win if I stay the longest, because that's the prize. Right. So it wasn't about the pain and suffering he was going through. He could handle that. It was a time away from his children and his wife. How cool is that? So the big tough guy was made to quit because he was missing time with his children and his wife. That's pretty cool, right? But most of us don't like being cold. Most of us don't like to suffer. Most of us don't like to be in pain. But when we go through those things, it does produce endurance. Whether it produces it mentally, and we have that hope of like, you know, I'm going through this, and I know Father's taking me through this season, and I'm going to come out on the other side, and even in the midst of this, I'm going to have strength. I don't know where it's coming from. I know you can't tell now, but back when I was quite a bit younger, I used to work out quite a bit. I was actually in pretty good shape at one time in my life, and I was like 18 before I got married, and I got fat. I don't blame Dawana. No. But I used to be in really good shape. But when you work out with weights, there's a lot of pain involved because you're breaking down your muscles to build them up, and then you have more endurance, and you have more strength, and you have more stuff at the end of all that pain. That's not fun. It's not fun when you have guys that are three times bigger than you, torturing you, you know, right? When you're bench pressing and you're straining for all your weight and they come and dig their thumbs into your pectoral muscles because they think it's funny, right?
That's a lot of pain, and that's what guys do. I know women are just like, you guys are stupid, right? Like, that's not something a woman would do, but guys do it all the time, right? Like, oh, love you, right? That's just how guys communicate. See, the guys all nod, the girls are like, you guys are stupid. So it's your fault for being involved with us. But whatever, I won't go there. That's a whole different message, right? So we have this place where suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces this hope. And this kind of hope doesn't put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that is so important, because there's times when we're in that place of misery, we're in that place of pain, we're in that place where life just doesn't seem to be cutting us any breaks at all. We have the benefit of the Holy Spirit to go, you know what, you're still loved. You're still in the palm of his hand. There is still hope for you in this situation. There's still hope for whatever it is that you're going through. I'm here to remind you. I'm here to speak into you. I'm still here to remind you at the right time, Christ died for you to make you one of his children. And if that's all I had for hope, is that not enough for me to live my life in this place of connectedness with Father? This place to know where I am absolutely loved by a Father I can't begin to describe, but I trust it. I live in this place of this beloved son, and you're in that place of beloved son or beloved daughter, that we are his. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, starting verse 16, says this, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I read through that verse this last week. Man, that he's given us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. That gives me a lot of hope. I don't have to try to figure God out. I don't have to try to figure out what his will is. I remember as a young man trying to desperately know the will of God. It's really simple. But I was making it way more complicated than it needed to be. Right? The will of God, for I believe for everyone, is just to get in this place of relationship with him. And when we're in relationship with him, he gives us wisdom and revelation that is beyond us. It's not a good idea that popped into our brain, although those things happen rarely, on occasion, I shouldn't say rarely, on occasion. But there are times when you have those, I'm sure you've had those conversations with somebody, when you said something like, wow, that sounded really good. That was probably God, not you. I'm not saying that that we're not smart. I get that. But I'm just saying, I know maybe I should talk to myself personally, right? Because then I can only blame myself, right? But I know there's been times, and recently, where I've been having this conversation where it seemed like such a simple thing that I said, but it had an impact on someone's life that they told me to shut up because they were trying to process, which happens quite a bit, right? But just like they were trying to process what I said, it didn't seem like in my mind something that big of a deal. It was just something that I said because that's what God gave me in that moment to say. That's a beautiful thing. And that gives me a lot of hope, because then when those kinds of moments happen, that means I can have more moments like that if I'm in that place of connectedness with my Father. And having the eyes of my heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Do you understand he's called you to something? A lot of times when we think about calling, we think of what I do for a living. Well, that's only for the preacher. No. We're all called to something. What are you called? Do you know what you're called to? Do you know what you're called to? Do you know what God has called you to do or be or whatever it is you want to put in there? Because we're all called to something. And I promise you, you will not be satisfied. I'm living proof. You won't be satisfied until you are operating in that calling. If you know anything about my life, and you've heard my testimony, or you've looked at Probably most of you haven't seen my job resume. I have pages when I used to be working out in the world. I have pages and pages of jobs that I've done. Because I was running. Because I wasn't operating in the calling in which Father had called me. And I'm not saying I could have worked in the world's jobs and still fulfilled the calling. I can do that, and most of you do that, right? But that's not what Father had for me. He had for me to do what I'm doing now. This is my calling to which he's called me to. And there was nothing satisfying until I finally stopped doing what everything else I was doing. And here's the thing. God will give you opportunities to do all the other things you want to do. And he'll satisfy for a little while. But after a while, even if it's a really amazing, cool thing, at least for me, it became like ash in my mouth. It was just didn't satisfy. I was frustrated. And there definitely wasn't any hope going on, right? Because I was operating outside of what Father wanted me to be. Because what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And yes, there's some of that future, but I believe there's a lot of that right now. This hope that we have, the access to. Calling, man, I hope you know, and hope. I hope you know what your calling is. I really do. I didn't mean to get sidetracked there, but that really is jumping out at me this morning. Because we got to know what we're called to. I don't want to get sidetracked there because that's a whole other message. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 17. Hebrews 6:17. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner of our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hold fast to the hope set before us. What is that hope? A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Again, this place of relationship, this kind of hope, this hope that we have, this hope in him that purifies us as he is pure, that's that place, that inner place of relationship. That's behind the curtain. And you know, I love talking about that. I love the fact that we don't have the curtain that separates us from God anymore. Every time I read the Old Testament, I read the stories of the Israelites, and I read their relationship with God, it kind of makes me sad. Yes, they had a lot of physical things that we don't see. We don't have a pillar of fire sitting over our building today. We don't have a cloud. It would be a cloud, I guess it's daytime. You know, we don't have this cloud sitting over Wasilla Community Church, right? We don't have this big power, you know, everybody showing up like, wow, look at this really cool cloud sitting over Wasilla Community Church and all the other churches, right? We don't have that. We don't have God just throwing, you know, bread on the ground every morning we get to go collect, right? So we look at all those things like, what a cool thing, right? But it makes me sad when I read that account when they went to Mount, I think, hopefully I got the right mountain, Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up and talks to God. As I read that, I don't believe it was supposed to just be Moses. I think God wanted to talk to his kids. And it's like, we're too scared. You go talk to them. And it even says that, I'm paraphrasing, but it says that, and it just makes me sad. It's like, why would you, that'd be like all you going like, oh, hey, Pastor Mark, you go talk to God, and you tell us what he said. So you just come every Sunday morning, and I just tell you what God said, and you go, God, how boring for you all, right? And you have no relationship. And so when I read that, it makes me sad. I understand that's how it worked out, and we have some great lessons we can learn from that, but man, I am so glad I don't have that anymore. I'm so glad that I have direct access with my Father all the time, 24/7. I'm so glad I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to remind me and teach me and saying, look, son, I know you're feeling really bad right now, but there is hope, real hope. Hope that changes your life. Hope that changes your situation. Hope and reality that you are absolutely loved and you're beloved and you are his son and daughter right now. I'll keep harping on that, but I think we really need to hear this morning. This hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. I also see that not just that Jesus did away with that when he died, that the curtain was torn, but this also shows me, kind of speaks to me, that inner place behind the curtain, I also see and hear it and have been in those moments where you go to that sacred place with Father. You go to that inner sanctum, if you will. It's not a place that, you know, anybody else can access. It's that place where it's just you and him in this really intense, intimate place. And it seems like, at least in my own life, when I've been in those places, it's been when I've had the hardest things going on in my life. It's when things, my life is coming apart, and that's when I don't know why, it seems like when everything is going good, yes, I talk to the Father, but it seems like when things are at their worst is when I am drawn in closer. And I think there's a reason for that. Because when there's people hurting around me, I just want to wrap them up. We had a lady come in this last week. I think it was the last, my weeks are running together. She came in looking for help. Dave and Judy and I were sitting in here talking, you know, and the thing is, she came in. She'd come in the day before wanting something, and she was literally having a panic attack. Now, Dave and Judy were right there, so I could do what I was going to do. I don't know this lady from Adam, right? And I walked up, and I gave her a big hug and held on to her while she's having her panic attack, right? Because that's what Father does to us, right? A week ago, we had the same kind of thing. Another lady came in that we've helped in the past, and she was upset, same kind of thing. Walked up, gave her a hug. There's other people in the room, right? I understand not everybody can do that. Great. That's just how Father's wired me. And I do it in safe places so y'all can, you know, I'm not just doing that in private, right, because that can get really weird, right? But I'm saying when that first lady a couple weeks ago when I did that, her comments were when I was giving her a hug, I feel like a prodigal daughter. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the kind of hope we're talking about. That's how we need to operate. That is all you're all's calling, by the way, too. Now, y'all don't have to do it like I do it. But I'm saying we need to love on each other. We need to love on those people that are hurting. Whether I can help them with finances or not, that wasn't the issue. Most of the time, yes, they come in for finances, but that's not the best thing that we can give them. The best thing we can give them is a hug physically or like the one lady, you know, just this new intensity about praying for people in the moment. She was walking out. She's like, hey, pray for me and, you know, my boyfriend. I was like, okay, let's pray, right? You know, and that's cool because, like, it's been a long time since I've done that kind of stuff. I'm always praying for people when they ask for it. But this place of hope, why? Because there was that connection, this place of intimacy with Father. And in those moments, I'm doing what Father tells. I don't hug everybody that comes in the door, right? But there are moments and times that Father says, this is what I want you to do. And you're in a safe, there's other people around so you can do that, right? Because I've yet to know in my experience, in my short life, because I'm super young, be quiet, you know, that it seems like, I don't know anybody, most people won't, it's really hard if they're in a place of real pain and misery not to respond to physical touch. See, here's the thing. The enemy has taken that and distorted it and made it something dirty and bad and wrong. And so the church has gotten so terrified of being accused of something inappropriate that we've just hands off everybody. And I'm just saying I will put the right parameters in place. I will go to jail for that accusation and the right parameter to love on people. Now, I'm always got people in the room, so I'm telling you all that. And I know I'm probably painting a target on my back, and I'll wear it. I don't care. Because, see, here's the thing. We got to live in this place. If we don't live in this place of hope, and I understand that, I'm not telling you all to do that. That's how Father wired me, right? So maybe you love on people in a different way. That's awesome and right and good. But I'm saying we as a church got to stop being so scared of everything and worrying about, like, oh, I might get sued. I might be accused. I might. Sure, I might. And I dare say if I'm doing things wrong, I will. And I'll be happy about that. I'm not saying I'll be happy about having to go through all of it. But I'm just saying if we're doing things right, the world and the enemy is not going to like it. And he's going to come after us hard. And I'd rather the enemy coming after us hard, because we're living in this place of connectedness with Father. We're living in this place of hope. We're living in this place of purity. I would rather have that happen than then we're not on his radar because we're not doing anything that impacts his kingdom at all. Because it's either one or the other. It's not in between. We're either messing up his agenda or we're lining ourselves up with it just by doing nothing. I'll leave that alone. That's a whole other thing, right? But I just want us to just be in this place of, like, man, we are in this place. We have this confidence to enter in. We have this intimacy with Father. We have this hope, and this hope purifies us as he is pure. Hebrews 10:19. It's kind of funny. I have notes that I go back when I hit a scripture. It's kind of interesting to me when I hit scripture. I was like, man, that sounds really familiar. Didn't I just use that last week? And so I go back through my notes and see when I've used it last. I have used this recently, but it's been a couple months ago. So, but it's interesting when I keep coming back to certain scriptures over and over and over again. It's like, okay, am I supposed to use it, or is this like whatever it is? So here's Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter. Ooh, I love that. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, that's why we have the confidence, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's where our hope is based on. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on our ability to get everything right. It's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. And that gives us the ability to enter in the holy place. It gives us the ability to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Because he is faithful. He who promised us is faithful. Not that we're faithful. He's faithful. He made the promise. He made the covenant. He made the covenant with us. He's never going to break covenant. We break covenant. He never does. Never breaks covenant. Hold fast. Hold fast to the confession of your hope without wavering. And again, in the situations in which we find ourselves this morning, in the situations of the world in which we're living, there's a lot of time that hope gets pushed on. And it gets wavered because of conversations we have with people. It wavers because of the things that we hear about in the news. If you're a news watcher, if you are, I'm sorry. I can't stand watching. I don't watch it because it's just depressing. And you can call me a Pollyanna if you want to, and all the young people, who's that? I want to go in discussion. I can be a real pessimist, but if I get pessimistic, y'all need to like kick me out, all right? So I got to stay optimistic. I'm not unreal about what's going on. I understand what's going on, but here's the thing. I believe my God is bigger than that. And if we as children of God don't believe that, not just in word, but in action and in reality, I'm not saying defy all the things that are out there, because we can go there. But here's the thing, and everybody has their views on that, I'm not even going to go down that road. And see here again, those things have divided the body of Christ. All the mandates that are out there for how COVID is handled. Oh, God, I said the word. I wasn't going to say it. But anyway, Right? But how all that has divided the church. Like extreme, like people get angry over things to me that are just silly. And I used to get angry over it too, right? But here's the thing. That's not living out this testimony of hope. That's not giving anybody to look at and go, wow, yeah, here's these followers of Jesus Christ that are living in this crazy, chaotic, unsettling world. I mean, every generation that ever lives through something that's chaotic and earth-ending and all that kind of stuff. I get it. We're not living anything new. Sure feels different than all the past history, all the history I've lived through. But here's the thing. As unsettling in all my own thoughts and ideas about the things coming up in the next couple months, at the end of the day, it's not about not worrying about that. It is about not worrying about that. But more importantly, it's about focusing on the reality and the truth of God's word. It's about the reality of this hope that I have, this ability and this privilege and this right to come boldly into the throne of God. And stand in this place that's different because, man, if ever the world needs us to stand up, and I know I've said that many times, and I'll keep saying it, the world needs us to stand up. Be accounted. Show them something different. Show them what real hope looks like. Not hope that their whatever candidate will get into office. That's a pretty shaky hope, right? Because even if the worst person possible gets into any kind of office, whether it's from the highest office to the lowest office, here's the thing, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, God's still in control. Even though it doesn't feel like it. We want to help God out and be like, oh, well, yeah. But at the end of the day, where is your hope? Is it in your politicians? There's a real secure place to put your hope. Is it in the, financial world? Is it in all your investments? Again, all great, wonderful things. But we all know when it comes to finances, stock markets rise and fall, and you can lose money and gain money in a matter of moments. So there's no security in that. Not that we shouldn't, we should do those things. We should. But at the end of the day, where is your hope? Where is it when everything hits the fan? Where do you go to? Do you go to your Father where there is all comfort? Or you do other things to help alleviate the stress you're under? Do we take it out on our families because we're frustrated and we're angry and we're upset? Do we go to all the substance abuses? There's lots of outs. But there's only one that has any lasting, real solutions, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the reality, not just a relationship in word, but in deed, in thought, and to the very core of our existence, that we absolutely know that we're loved, that we absolutely know that we are his children right now, that we absolutely know that we are beloved, that we absolutely know that he's continually to change us every single day, that we absolutely know that he is the one that gives us hope, and that we absolutely know that we can be purified as he is pure. We can absolutely live in that place right now, today, not someday. That is the reality for us this morning. But do we live in that place? Do we really believe that? So this morning during our prayer time, I want you to really pray into that. I will be up here if anybody wants to actually have someone pray with them. I'm happy to do that. But I want you, when we go to pray, why don't you ask the Father where you sit this morning with him? Are you in this place of intimate relationship? Are you in this place that, man, I know where my hope is in him alone. I know I am absolutely loved. In the midst of all the things that are going on in my life, I know in this moment, this morning, I am absolutely loved, that I have absolute access And it doesn't matter if I'm getting things right or wrong. I'm in this place where, Father, when I go to Father, he is there waiting and willing to enter in with me. That's what I want you to pray. Ask him. Ask him, because I promise you, he wants to talk to you. He wants to reveal to you things. And maybe you're in a really amazing place. You know what? Can it get better? And that's what I love about relationship with Father. It can get better. We'll never reach a level where we've tapped out. We've attained that level with God where everything's, well, this is as high as it goes. It's never going to get there. So as we take the next few moments just praying silently, if God, again, as you listen, maybe God will tell you to go pray for somebody you don't even know across the room. I know it's scary. Go do it. It will change your life, right? And that's part of it too. All right, so for the next few moments, let's just go to God in prayer.
God, we just thank you for this time. I love as the music's been playing, it's one of the songs we sang this morning.
Moses asked for that, and he saw your back. And we read in Scripture that his face shone just by seeing the backside of your glory. And I know in our current form, as we couldn't, Scripture tells us that nobody would survive seeing you face to face. But someday you're going to change these bodies. And we're going to have the ability to see you face to face. Father, we love that connection that we get to have with you right now. And we get to have that relationship and that connection because, Jesus, you came and you died. You gave your life. You engraved our names in the palms of your hands, physically, permanently, for eternity. And that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives this morning continue to intercede and remind us about this hope and that how much we're loved and how much we have with Father and how much relationship you want to have with us. And you remind us of things that we have maybe never even learned before. And you teach us things about you, Father, that aren't in your word and in written form, but the truth is there. And you give us revelation. And it changes our lives. And Father, I pray we would walk in a place that not just changes our lives personally, that's where it's got to start, and then it goes out from there into our immediate families, and it goes out into this body of believers here, and then it goes out into this world that we are called to serve. And Father, you know, I've prayed personally, intimately with you in different places over the years, and even up front here this morning. Father, we continue to pray for revival. First in the hearts of your children who are running scared and are without hope and have forgotten whose they are. And that their identity comes from you and their purpose comes from you, not from anything else. May it start there. It has to start there. And I pray that we would continue to love on the people that we come in contact with. However that is, whatever that looks like for each individual, I pray that we would step into the awkward. That we would step into that place of prayer at the very least for those people. I say at the very least, that's a lot. Because when we pray, whether they understand it or not, we're ushering them into a space where you are. You're there, I get it. But when we're having that conversation, it changes what's going on in the moment. There's so much intimacy and beauty in our relationships with you. Father, I pray that we never take it for granted, that we never just get used to it. That's overwhelming every single moment of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I wasn't going to share this story, but interesting, I was one of those rare occasions when I'm flipping through things, and maybe you saw it too. But they found another one of our service men from Vietnam. Anybody see that article this week? Nobody? So they brought his body home after however many years. It just came home this last week. To lots of fanfare. Cool, sad, although it took this long to get him home. But the cool thing was, the pilot of the aircraft bringing him home with his son. Can you imagine being that long without your dad? He was probably a little boy when his dad left. Or maybe not even born yet. I don't know. Didn't talk about that. But that relationship that he didn't get to have with his daddy. I don't know how he flew. It must have been on autopilot most of the time. It would have been a wreck, you know. But how cool is that to bring his dad home? See, here's the thing. The Father's going to bring us home. He's bringing us home. And he's not going to be taken away from us on a foreign battlefield somewhere. We get to have this direct relationship, an intimate relationship with him in a way that young man, well, he's probably not a young man now, but as that young man as he is, that man as he was growing up, never got to have. I'm not saying he didn't have a good father, you know, stepdad or whatever. Doesn't go into all that. But we get to have this intimate relationship with him. I just wanted to leave you with that story this morning because it just, to me, just really drove home this point of connection. And I pray that that man has a relationship with Father and he understands so many different things that those of us that haven't walked in that kind of place will never have. But we all have our unique stories. We all have our unique experiences with Father, and that's the beauty of the Bride of Christ. And that's why we'll all need it. We all need our stories to help each other out. So be blessed this week. Enter into that hope. Enter into that love that Father has for you personally, intimately, just you. It is